All right. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. We love you because you bring all these wonderful people together in love, in Christ. And we get to fellowship together. That's awesome. We, from all over the world, we get to fellowship. That's just so awesome to me. Lord, I ask that you be with us tonight, guide us, lead us into whatever it is that you want. Lord, if we're going to do some worship and praise tonight, and Father, let it be a sweet smell to you. And we just thank you for all you're going to do tonight. Lord, we thank you that we do have an open heaven to you, that when we pray, prayers are answered, every one of them. And we thank you for it, Father. We don't disbelieve, we believe. We're believers. We're full of faith because you've given it to us, and we love you. And we know that when we pray, our prayers are answered. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state, draining the swamp of politics and of your spiritual realm too, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for giving our enemies their due. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. And right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know that you have given us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command all communications for everybody that wants on this Zoom conference call to be solid and holding in there. And I command any kind of demon that wants to knock people off, I bind you up and cast you out of here in the name of Jesus, that we're going to have no problems with our communications with each other in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your angels are out there right now keeping things going. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Let's see here. Let me get Tracy in here. All right, here comes Barbara. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Pat. Can y'all hear me? Okay. Hi, Julie. I see your thumb. That's a big thumb, too. My gracious. What a thumb. That's a lovely thumb. Oh, me. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request, praise report, testimony, comment?
Tanya had put in the chat, she has two.
Who?
Tanya said she has two requests.
Okay, where you at, Tanya? A sore on my leg needs healing. Just want to know God. Okay. All right, where is she? Let me see if I can spot her.
All you can see is her forehead.
There she is. Okay. All right, Tanya, we're going to pray for you. Now, you're going to believe, aren't you? You're going to believe with us? Give me a thumbs up. Two thumbs up. Okay. Do you know how to mute and unmute? Okay. Down at the bottom, you have an icon of a microphone and one of a video camera. One of the microphone is your mute and unmute button. You just click on that with your pointer. Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Now we can hear you.
That'll be much easier. So I had a figurine jump off the counter and smash itself on the floor, and I haven't had any kind of spiritual attack like that in over 12 years. And my grandma always helped me with spiritual warfare, but she died last May, so I'm not sure what to do and or where the attack is exactly coming from. And the other one was I got a bed bug bite while staying with my parents. Well, I got several, but one has not closed yet. And I just, I want God's direction on what he wants me to do about it. It's very frequently that I get a problem that a lot of people are having and don't know what to do. And usually my problem becomes very public. Right now, I think I'm supposed to ask this company that makes Meta Honey to make cantaloupe or honeydew honey, which is high in hydrogen peroxide, which will help kill a fungus, instead of the Meta Honey, which is Macula honey, which is very low. It's good for bacteria, but not good for fungus. So I'm looking for direction on both areas. The sore on my leg has not actually caused me any pain or discomfort. I just know I'm supposed to do something about it, you know, and I just want more direction and how to fight the spirit through the figurine.
Let me show you some good direction here. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said he died on the cross for your healing. When he died on the cross, he took all of that curse away from us. And he also gave us the authority in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. He says, all authority has been given you. Authority has been given you over all the power of the enemy. Who's the enemy? Those things that are bothering you. And also in Mark 11:24, he says, when you pray, believe what you pray and you shall have it. So we're going to pray. Everybody here is going to pray. And I'm going to pray and they're going to believe with me. And God's going to heal you of both of those problems. Okay? You believe that?
Yeah.
I'm trying to unmute you. There we go.
I wasn't looking for a miracle healing. I needed to do spiritual warfare about why a spirit was able to come into my home.
Well, we can do that.
I prayed Passover over my house and claiming it all for God, so I don't know why they could attack something in my house.
Okay.
And I wasn't asking for a miracle healing on my leg. I want to know what it is God wants me to do. Because it doesn't really bother me. It actually bothered my mom. Accidentally saw it, and it bothered her. So I'm trying to do something about it.
Well, we're going to do something about it. We're going to let Jesus heal it. You don't have to look for any kind of honey or anything else. All you have to do is look at Jesus. That's what we do here. Everybody here believes in healing, God's healing. We have seen all kinds of miracle healings right here in this fellowship, right here. And we're going to see you get healed too. Here's the kicker. You got to believe and you got to hope. You got to endure in your faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
To the end. To the end of what? Till you see everything gone. So you just, somebody asks you, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I've been healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago. I don't have anything wrong with me. Doesn't make any difference what your natural eye is looking at. Doesn't make any difference what you're feeling in your body. What matters is the Word of God. And the Word of God says, by His stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. And when you believe that, and you get your mindset that that's what I'm going to believe, and you talk that, and you speak it, and you walk it out. You walk from this point on, after we pray for you, you walk just like you're healed. And we're going to pray against those, that witchcraft coming against you too, okay? All right, let's pray. In the name of Jesus right now, Father, I just thank you so much that you have given us this authority. And not only that, you've given us the love to be able to minister and to come against all of these things that come against your brothers and sisters. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of infirmity off of Tanya now in the name of Jesus. I command all effects that it has caused to be healed, dried up, and gone in the name of Jesus. I command the fungus to dry up and go in the name of Jesus. Bed bug bites, be healed in the name of Jesus. Any kind of toxins in her bloodstream, go in the name of Jesus. I command everything about Tanya to be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, as far as the witchcraft goes, in the name of Jesus, I break the curses that have been spoken against her and her household right now and command it to go back where it came from in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for a hedge of protection around her and her family and that house in Jesus' name. A hedge of protection that your angels are surrounding about her house right now in the name of Jesus. Defending her against any kind of witchcraft or curses spoken against her or her family in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to place it in her mind to do what Ephesians 6 says, and that's to put on the whole armor of God every day, spiritually speaking, and come against any war, come against any attacks on her. And Lord, from this day on, she's going to act like she's healed. She's going to act like that house has been cleansed. And when it comes an attack, she's going to rebuke it and tell them in the name of Jesus, we prayed, you got to go, now leave in Jesus' name. And he can't do nothing but leave because she's a believer. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, to place it in her heart to get in that word. Get in that word and learn what it is to be a believer. And that's to believe what the promises say. And the promises say she's healed. I believe it, and everybody in here believes it, and she believes it too. And we thank you, Father, that Tanya is healed, delivered, and set free. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. All right. I'm going to unmute you, Tanya, and ask you a question, if I can. There we go. All right, are you healed?
The skin didn't magically close.
You're healed. You're calling those things that are not as though they were. That's what you do. That's Roman, I just had a mind blank here. Anyway, 4:17. Philippians 4:17. Romans. It's one of them books.
Romans 4:17.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Romans 4:17. And it says to call those things that be as though they... Wait a minute. Lord, help me here. Call on those things that be not as though they were. You're healed. So you have to call those things. That's the confession you make with your tongue. That's what he wants you to do. So you're healed, right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. I see two hands up here. Thank you, Tanya. Who went up first here?
Tim was.
Okay, Tim, go ahead.
I was going to give a praise report. This might be helpful for you, Tanya. I gave it this morning, and my granddaughter, she's 11, and she's been really sick, violently ill, real high fevers for most of the last 3 weeks. And I prayed for her on the FaceTime. You know, we kind of laid hands on her virtually with that a couple of days ago, and she got some relief, but the symptoms came back. And she was with us here for a while locally, and so she got some word in her. But last night she was miserable, and she was got a little bit of food down, but she didn't think she was going to be able to keep it down. And we prayed, and we stood together in faith. And she goes, "I'm going to get sick one more time, Grandpa." And I go, no, you're not. And she goes, "Yeah, I am." And I go, "No, we command that out of you." Well, lo and behold, she did get sick. But when she did, I said, that reminded me of the boy who was grievously possessed, and when the demons left him and threw him to the ground and tore at him and stuff. And I said, that was that spirit of infirmity leaving you, Doc.
Amen.
And we're all better now. And we weren't on the phone much longer because it was my bedtime. But my wife's for a while. But anyways, I said, you're healed. She goes, yeah, I think I am. And this morning I got up and without talking to her, I gave a praise report. I said, she's healed. God delivered her last night. She stood in faith. She believed the promises. And I didn't know because I hadn't talked to her, but I believed that she believed and I believed, and I think that was enough. So this afternoon when we started talking to her again, she is fine. She's eating. She's holding it down. She's no fever.
Amen.
She started to look at the cupboard and going, what's next? What's next? The Lord was faithful in his word and delivered her and healed her. It was a trial for her. She has been healed, and praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right, Greg, go ahead, brother.
All right, this is kind of a half testimony thing about these things here, which yes, I know they're on my face at the moment. Because for those who weren't there, we did some praying over this for a few of us. Was that a week or two ago now? Well, anyway, on Monday, I think it was Monday past. What happened when we were praying? You know, I was looking at my Bible without these, and so help me, because for me they're used for reading. Words came into focus. They didn't stay in focus, but they did come into focus. And I'm thinking, well, hello. That's something that's never happened before. Anyway, and I was kind of realizing, okay, I need to sit and have a bit of a battle with this. And on Monday past, I woke up, you know, looked at my messages on the phone, which I use these for, and then went out for a bit of a walk. And I thought, well, hang on a second, I better take my glasses with me in case I get a message. Well, I come back to the house and God's hidden them, and he wasn't telling me where they were either. And I couldn't find them, find them anywhere. Anyway, I went for the walk, which was a bit of a long one. Came back, still looking for the things, couldn't find them. So, rightio. So I sat down and started the battle, and I flipped open the Bible at Amos. Now, it wasn't pretty, and I sounded like a kid sometimes learning to read. But so help me, I read two chapters of Amos without glasses. And the next day, right, I thought, rightio, and so I thought I'd read a couple more chapters. I read the rest of the book, which is, another seven chapters in all of Amos. The battle is not over yet, I'm starting to realize, oh, this is how this works. Okay, there's a fight on. So there's been a few other instances and stuff, but I just thought I'd throw that in there just as a kind of a halfway encouragement to say it's not there yet. And I assume from what you spoke about, Michael, it's kind of similar for you.
Okay. Did you ask me a question?
Did you not hear all that?
I heard everything but the last part.
Oh, I'm just assuming. Sorry, I beg your pardon. I'm just assuming that it was kind of similar for you when you were getting past by reading aids. Glasses.
Oh yeah, with the glasses. Yeah, I had. Well, Joe, I just sat there with the Bible open when I put those glasses up, and I said, and it was small print. And it came into focus. When it came into focus, and if it tried to go back out, I rebuked it. I said, nope, I've already prayed. You got to come back in. And I did that. And it would come back periodically, try to come back on me. And I just rebuke it and go on. Keep on reading. I've got a little one up here. I've got an NIV up there that's about like this. That devil tries to get on to me, I'll just go get that thing. You can't hardly see it's a little old bitty stuff. And I said, okay, I can read this. And I go ahead and read it. You confess it and you walk it out. Amen. Let me say hello to someone here. Go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. That's it, basically.
Yeah, Tracy said, everybody here, eyes be healed and restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Joe, how's it going, bud? Joe Hostetler. Preacher Joe. Okay. I don't know if he's he probably can hear us. I don't know if he can talk yet or not. Anyway, good to have you, brother.
Unmute him.
He's not muted.
He doesn't have a mic icon on his
page,
so I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah.
He's not connected to audio, Tracy said. He needs to connect to audio. Joe, if you can hear us, you need to connect to our audio.
Yeah, he's had all kinds of trouble trying to get on to Zoom today. Even he and I tried to get him on, and I don't know, he's having some kind of problem with the app. But anyway, as long as he can hear, that's good. Yeah, you'll have to connect your audio through your settings. Okay. Anybody else? Here comes Jeff. Oh, yeah. Join audio for sound, Joe.
That's when he logs in, he has that option.
Yeah. Greg, you don't believe this, but I used to know Semaphore in the Navy.
You're incorrect. I do believe it.
Okay. All right. Oh, my. Okay. Anybody else got a testimony? Yeah, Judy, go ahead. Or is that, that's Connie. Connie, go ahead.
Okay. The other day I was reading the Bible and it's still kind of blurry, but I told the Lord I'm going to stay in it till I can see. And I looked out towards the birds, you know, out in the backyard, just clear as can be. I could just see way on down past the road where the building was, just crystal as can be. Look right back and my Bible started to be blurry. I said, nope, I'm not going to accept that. I'm already healed. I can see all the way down the distance and I can read this Bible. So I rebuke you, Satan, to get off of me because I've been healed.
Amen.
So it's awesome to get really crystal, and then the devil would say, oh, you can't read it. You want to bet?
Amen. Amen. Oh. All right, anybody else? While I check this out. I can't see anybody on the other side. I got two pages of people here. My gracious. Okay.
I was making supper and I was cutting onions and I chopped the end of my thumb off last week Thursday, and it is 100% healed. So I do know, you know, it hurt, it burned pretty good. So I mean, physical things that don't have any spiritual attachment, I'm pretty good at praying and believing it heals. It was healed within 3 days. So it was just, I mean, it's hard to believe that was cut off 3 days ago.
Oh, my.
But I let you know.
Thank you, Lord. Tanya, I had a bout with, what was the name of that stuff? Hives? Is that what it was?
Shingles.
Shingles. One of the two. I don't remember. I don't know the difference other than I know what I had. Boy, it was terrible. And I asked one of the ladies here that was a nurse, I asked her, I said, what is this stuff? And I showed her, she said, oh, that's shingles. She said, you're going to have that for 3 weeks. And I said, no, I'm going to have it 3 days and that's it. Well, 3 days is all I had it and it was gone. But I'm kind of stupid because I should have said, I ain't taking another day of it. But I did, and I just blurted it on out, you know, 3 days. So I had it for 3 days. But after 3 days, it was gone completely. What is my name? Is Michael. It's Michael. I'll be from Arkansas. I'm just an old simple farmer boy. got my friend Barry and Marilyn from Texas. They're neighbors down there. Turn the camera on do semaphore. How much more do I need to do the camera? Come on, Greg. I don't know. I can do ABC. That's about it right now because I don't remember much of it. You're talking 40 years ago, Greg. Maybe 50. But anyway. Okay. Anybody else? See, A, B, C. I don't remember what D was. It goes down the other side. E, F, G, H, I. Anyway. All right, y'all. Let's get on with this. Anybody else got a praise report or a testimony? Yeah, Julie. My gracious. Okay. This is the last Thursday in the month. This I forgot to send it out, but y'all don't know how busy I've been. I have been so busy. My gracious sakes alive. A lot going on. But anyway, this is Praise and Worship Night. I do would like to, if y'all want to get into God's vaccine a little bit tonight if we can, but I do want to do some praise and worship first. If y'all want to do that, is that what y'all want to do? That's a yes or a no. Yes, no. Yes, no. Okay. Okay, let me see if I can get something going. I already got a couple of requests, maybe three or four of them. And let me see. I got one right here. Okay, hang on. Let me get back with y'all. Share the screen.
Through the flame. Hey, Michael, we can see you clicking, but can't hear anything you're saying. Oh.
Three silhouettes were etched upon the barren sky. The sun was high, yet turning black as if to mourn. Suspended there between the worlds of life and death. With every breath I cursed the hour that I was born. I stared upon this crowd that scorned my agony. Along with me, each one of them could be condemned. Yet hanging there and suffering much more than I. The man beside me who whispered, "Father, forgive them."
How could he ever forgive them? Why he would want to, I did not know. Who was this man who could love them?
A word, he bore the mocking and the pain. And then I came to his defense, to my surprise. And when I turned and asked him to remember me, I suddenly saw paradise within. Forgiven,
forgiven, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven for all of their past. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven at last. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven and free. Forgiven, forgiven eternally. Forgiven, forgiven for all of their past. Forgiven, forgiven. Forgiven at last. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven and free. Forgiven, forgiven eternally. Forgiven, forgiven for all of the past. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven at last. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven and free. Forgiven, forgiven eternally.
This is kind of where it all started for us in Africa. And to watch this town develop over the years has been nothing short of incredible, inspirational, and it's why we keep coming back.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, his son not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sings my
My good friend, who you've already heard this evening, is with us to share in the worship. Joshua Aaron, come on, continue to lead us.
Hallelujah.
As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. We will not bow down to the gods of men. We will worship the God of Israel. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. As for me and my house, we'll serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. We will not bow down to the gods of men. Oh, we will worship the God of Israel. Yes, you are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no this day whom you will serve. Oh, come on, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. We will serve you, Lord. Oh, yeah. We will not bow to the gods of men.
Okay, we have a singer straight from the Pittsburgh area that would like to sing a internationally famous song. Go ahead, Missy.
Oh, geez.
Well, you are internationally known. Greg knows you. We know you.
Hadn't thought about it in that respect, but.
John knows you.
Okay.
Okay. Greg says, and the crowd goes wild.
Oh, jeez. Man, for Jesus. Okay. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every fear. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus in from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for our families, we speak the holy name, Jesus. Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus. Amen. I know that's everybody's heart. It's in this room tonight. We praise you and thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Missy. Tim, do you want to sing one? No? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Before we go, listen, I guess I need to say this. On our worship night, if you'll text me on my phone, I can while I'm in YouTube, I can do that. If it keeps me from having to go back and forth from share to unshare, to share to unshare in the screen, and it just takes up a lot of time. But if you'll just text me, I can get it and go on with it while I'm there.
Michael, there's a couple of requests in the chat.
Yeah, I know. I can't see those while I'm while I'm doing it. We're gonna go ahead and get into God's vaccine. I thought now, if that's all right. Let's see what Malcolm wants first. He might have a song for us. Malcolm, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna try to play something through the phone here. I don't have a very good internet connection.
Okay. I bet we can hear it. If I can get Jeff to sing it. I figured I'd get your head up off your hands. Did you hear what Malcolm said, Jeff? He's going to play it on the piano. I said, well, I bet Jeff was singing right along with you, too. Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead, Malcolm. Where'd he go? He left us. What'd y'all do with Malcolm? Somebody's not muted. Let's see, who is that?
It's me, sorry.
Oh. Okay. Are you going to sing, Julie? That'd be all right. Go ahead.
I haven't warmed up my vocals.
Okay.
So, right. Michael, you said to text you in a song, a YouTube song, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Do that at the time that you're playing them? Is that when?
You can do it before. You can do it, that day. Anytime okay. that day. And what I do, I just make a list of them, and then I just go one right after the other.
Okay.
See, and it's a lot easier for me, and it doesn't take up any time.
Okay.
For you that don't have my phone number, it's BR549. Some of you get that one these days. Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and get into God's vaccine. This is important stuff. It's helping a lot of people. I've gotten some real good back feed on this God's vaccine. So I feel like it's real important at this time we're in. I don't think it's over, folks. Can y'all hear me? Okay. I don't think it's, stuff is over. In fact, I know it's not because God hadn't done what he said he was going to do with this stuff. So it's helping folks, helping me too. Psalms 91:5. Tanya, we're in David's book called God's Vaccine. You can get it online in PDF form, or you can order it from Lulu. And okay, good deal. I'm on page 110. 110 in the book. I don't know what it is on the PDF. Page 112, PDF, Dave says. First word. Okay, Jeff's got his book. He's sitting there getting ready. All right, Psalm 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. There are both spiritual and literal arrows that the Lord speaks about. And I'd like first to take a look at a spiritual arrow that he says we should not fear. Psalms 64:1. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. We've seen that if you fear the enemy, then you don't believe what God says in Psalms 91. But here the psalmist, who is David, is asking for help to conquer this fear. In verse 2, hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers. There are evildoers everywhere, and they're coming out of the church right and left. Praise God for that, because he's bringing a separation. Yes, he is. From the tumult, in other words, hide me from the confusion, turmoil, and trouble of the workers of iniquity, who have whet their tongue like a sword and have aimed their arrows, even bitter words. He tells us not to fear the arrow that flieth by day. In this case, the arrow is bitter words. And of course, we know that people are going to speak against the righteous, but we're not to fear what they can do to us. I believe it was John that sent me, wasn't that you, John, that sent me that picture, that spiritual picture of that mother and her child with the shield and the arrows? Was that you, John, that sent that to me? Oh, no, it was Will. That was Will. I'm going to, y'all mind if I go get that right quick and bring it and let y'all see it, because it is an awesome, picture. Let me see if I can find it right quick. Aha. All right, here we go. Can y'all see that? See the mama? She's shielding the baby from the arrows. There's the shield there, shield of faith. And that's a little baby that she's reading the word to. Awesome, isn't it? And the light back here. Golly. Did y'all see that? Okay.
And she's not hurt by the arrows.
No. No, that's cool. That's so cool. I thought that was so awesome. That mama was using the fifth shield of faith around her daughter and herself. Okay, any comments on that paragraph there? You know, I'm going to pray something right quick. In the name of Jesus, I command every distraction to leave. In Jesus' name, I command complete focus on you, Lord. And I thank you for it. Any kind of oppression or depression, you go from this room in the name of Jesus. Any kind of pain or anything like that, go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that everybody here is being blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in us. I don't know. I just felt a lot of heaviness. Did y'all feeling that, or were you? Nobody? Okay, maybe it's just me. All right. It's gone now. Praise God. Psalm 64:3. Who have wet their tongues like a sword and have aimed their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret places at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil purpose. You know, many times your enemies will gather together against you. Yep, they sure will. They commune of laying snares privily. So they're trying to trap you. the Pharisees came together to try to trap Jesus in his words in Matthew 22 and 15, Mark 12 and 13, Luke 11, 54, and on and on. But he knew by the Holy Spirit exactly what they were doing. And the Holy Spirit gave him wisdom to answer. Verse 5, they encouraged themselves in an evil purpose. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who will see them? They search out iniquities. We have accomplished, say they, a diligent search. And the inward thought in the heart of everyone is deep. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Praise God. And so they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them. Whatever they say, they're going to reap, because that's what they're sowing. Galatians 6 and 7. Anybody got a question or comment on that paragraph? Yeah, Pat.
I was looking at that and thinking of President Trump's the example of guys, the media that is questioning him, trying to catch him in something, basically laying snares for him in the questions, trying to get him to, and it was just, it says they commune on laying snares privily. They say, who will see them? And it's like they think that nobody is watching them and is aware of what they're trying to do. And in their, and it's like they're exposing themselves by what they, by what they're saying and the questions that they are asking and trying to catch him in and whatnot. So it's, it kind of, I don't know, just, I thought of that when I was, when you were reading that.
Well, you're right in that they, people that only watch mainstream news are in blindness, because that's all they know. That's all they've heard is just the mainstream news. And it's always been negative against Trump. And that's how faction works. If you listen to faction or divisiveness, that thing will jump on you and you'll just be just as stupid as the news people. You know what I'm saying? Just as stupid as the Democrats, just as stupid as the deep state. And what's happening now? It's all turning around. What they have sown, they're fixing to reap. The news today was that Sidney Powell has finally come out and said, shown the proof that all of this Pfizer stuff and all these things against Trump and against Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, was a conspiracy from the start. It was to overthrow this government. People are going to hang over this one. It's all coming back on them. And as far as Trump listening to the media, I'm kind of the same opinion as Robert David Steele. I think all he needs to do is sit down and have a fireside chat with the American public and not even have the news people around, and just tell us what's going on. And without all that distraction from the news media, I think he'll get a lot better response, you know, than having to fight the media every day. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a comment on that last paragraph? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I like how it says, you know, in verse 4 is that they shoot in secret places at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. But then it turns on their heads and it says, but God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded, you know.
He don't miss, does he?
Mm-mm. I just, you know, I got this chapter the other day, and I was praying it, you know, in spiritual warfare and everything, and casting down the enemy and all that. And then I got it again, you know, a verse out of it another day, and then it's like it right here it is again, you know, in the book, you know. And this chapter is Psalm 64. It's a short chapter, but it's an awesome chapter.
Yeah.
It's like it just, I got it so excited when I was reading it, you know. And praying it and taking out my sword and slicing and getting it all up.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Now, some of y'all I can't see because there's so many of you in here. I have to go to page to page. So if you want to say something, raise your electronic hand. And how do you do that? How do y'all do that?
Click on participants, and then you raise hand.
Oh, okay. Participants. Go into participants and then raise hand. That's simple. Okay. Missy, you got a chat thing down there.
No, it's Psalm 64 that we're reading right here.
What's she say? Oh, 34.
No, 64.
Yeah, 64. Right. All right, I'm going to continue on here. Of course, you don't want to fight fire with fire. You don't want to wrestle with flesh and blood. For what you sow, you also will reap. God tells us how to fight with these people, and it's not in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And then Psalm 64 and 8. So they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them. All that see them shall wag the head, and all men shall fear, and they shall declare the work of God, and shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord, and shall take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Amen, amen. You see, if we serve the Lord and not our flesh, and therefore don't retaliate the way the world does, the Lord will defend us. He will use us as an example, and people will be brought into the kingdom. That's what he's saying here. Okay. Anybody got any comments on that paragraph? Die to the flesh. Don't allow people to get you upset. And God will defend you. It's a whole lot better when he defends you rather than you do it, because he does a lot better job and they understand it. Go ahead, Tim.
Reading these verses and putting it in context with the times we're in right now, it seems like the Lord's using this to make the division more and more clear all the time of who's on which side of the fence. You know, the evil are attacking the good, and then it's being pointed out, and you know, they're getting more and more evil, and the better the person is, or the better the spirit is in the person, the more they're being attacked. So it's really putting the division in society and the whole world and in the church.
Amen. Well, we're seeing God's recompense now with this, all this. We know we've been praying that God exposed this stuff, and he's done it one by one. He's exposing the deep state for what they are. They're a bunch of Satan worshipers, bunch of child murderers. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. A little different kind of arrow is where God speaks of Babylon conquering the nations, and then afterward, at the end, being conquered by the nations. Jeremiah 25:29. For lo, I begin to work evil at the city which is called by my name. And should ye, now this is speaking of Babylon, the great eagle, be utterly unpunished? Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord will roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will mightily roar against his fold. Now, these are the people who are left, the ones that are still not protected at the end of tribulation. Because in type, Babylon fell at the end of 70 years, which in our day is 7 years. These are the people that are still not walking in the Lord and are still not abiding in the ark at the end. These are the people that have been separated. They are the tares. They consider themselves Christians, but they're not. What's going to happen to them? Well, Hebrews 6 and 7. For the land which has drunk the rain that comes oft upon it and brings forth herbs meet for them, for those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it is rejected, nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. Jeremiah 25 and 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord will roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will mightily roar against his fold. He will give a shout as they that tread the grapes. Now he's talking about the grapes of wrath here. Revelation 14 and 19. And the angel cast his sickle into the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth and cast it into the winepress. That ain't a good place to be, folks. That's the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress are trodden without the city, and there came out blood from the winepress, even unto the bridles of the horses, as far as 1,600 furlongs. Now these are the people who are going into the great and terrible day of the Lord. Joel 1 and 15, 2 and 31, and Malachi 4 and 5, and Acts 2, 20, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2, and on and on and on. The day of God's wrath. They were not found to have borne the fruit of Jesus Christ. So they did not go up in the ark. Okay. Anybody got any questions or any comments on this? Now somebody tell me what the fruit of Jesus Christ is so everybody will know. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, it's just Jesus in you, the fruit of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit in you, being lived out of you, manifested in you.
Amen. It's Jesus manifested in you. It has to be 30, 60, or 100-fold. And the fruit of the Spirit, it goes right with it. Go ahead, Leon. Oh, I thought you were... Yeah, Missy.
I wanted to point out in over on the back of page, the bottom there, that it's in Jeremiah 25:29, it says, lo, I begin to work evil. You know, that goes, you know, people say that God doesn't do evil. Mm-hmm. He says, I begin to work evil. Just wanted to point that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I create evil and I create good. Mm-hmm. That's God. God's love. Jesus is love. All God is love, love, love. They don't realize that he also creates evil. Well, he don't hate anybody. Yeah, he does. He said Esau I hate, didn't he? He said he hates people that lie. He hates people that do a lot of things. Sin.
He said, I love them that love me. I think that's in Proverbs somewhere.
It's in John.
Yeah, isn't it? Proverbs 8, I believe it is.
Proverbs 8, okay. All right. Anybody else? Born the fruit of Jesus Christ. And bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ is walking like Jesus did, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Stephen says, Isaiah 45 and 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. So there's some lying going on somewhere in them pulpits. Pupils. All right. Jeremiah 25 and 30. Therefore, prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will mightily roar against his fold. He will give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the end of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will enter into judgment with all flesh. David says, I believe this noise is that last nuclear war, as if arrows are flying from nation to nation. But he tells us not to fear those arrows either. We know from Noah's testimony that they were warned by God in advance. Genesis 7 and 4, for yet 7 days. And in tight, that's the 7 years of the tribulation in our time, Genesis 7, 4. And I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground. Then, David says, for the 40 days while the flood was coming upon the earth, Noah was in the ark. He was in safety as he was beholding the reward of the wicked, and it didn't touch him. Genesis 7 and 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Psalms 91 is also going to be manifested as a Psalms 91 Passover for the saints during the last 40 days before the ark lifts off. This is that time right here, from the time that America is attacked by Russia and China until the end of that 40 days, when God's people are going to be preserved in the ark, before the ark lifts off in a repetition of history. We know that the timing is exactly the same as at the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel 12, 11 through 13. It's confirmed there. So we know that that's how God is going to preserve his people. Then the editor's note, for complete discussion of tribulation, see hidden matter for the end time. Yeah. Jeremiah 25 and 31. Oh, wait a minute. I'll stop asking if there's any questions or any comments on that last paragraph about what's going to happen at the end. God's people are going to be, who's left? God's people are going to be left. They're going to be able to watch 40 days of God's recompense against the evil in the earth at that time. Then after that 40 days, he's going to be lifted up. Off they go, and then the rest of them are going to be taken care of. Yeah, that's right, Debbie. We're going to be going on up to see Jesus. We're all going to be having a party. Go ahead, Stephen.
David was talking about the timing of the two being exactly the same. More specifically, the rapture is a type of the ark lifting off 40 days after the 7 days of loading the ark. 40 days into the year of wrath, the ark lifts off. When you go back to Daniel chapter 12, he talks, Revelation 12 tells us it's 1260 days in the first half of the tribulation. Then Daniel 12 tells us it's 1335 days from mid-trib to the resurrection, which if you do the math at the 1260 to 1335, it comes out to be exactly 7 years and 40 days as well. So you have 7 years and 40 days to the resurrection in Daniel, and you have 7 days, which is the 7 years, plus the 40 days to the rapture in Genesis. So they both come out to be exactly the same, 7 years and 40 days.
Amen. That's all in hidden manna. Y'all can get that. All that timeline stuff is in hidden manna. That's a good book if you want to know what's happening in the end time. Very good book. One of these days we're going to publish that thing when David gets the time to edit it. Anybody else got a question or comment? Okay. By the way, we're not going at the beginning of tribulation. There ain't nobody going at the beginning of tribulation. You're going to have to rock through the whole thing. Praise God. Yeah, Missy. That's when all the miracles happen.
There you go. You took it out of my mouth. I wanted to give the good part.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think in that the time that people would have loved to live is the time of the Gospels and the time of the Book of Acts.
Yep.
And the tribulation is just going to be the Gospels and the Book of Acts 2.0.
No, there's no pre-trib rapture. Amen. Yeah, the scriptures, there's no way that anybody can prove that the rapture is before the tribulation. That's just a bunch of convoluted thinking and convoluted verses that they use to try to justify that. They look over the real word. Forget about the real word. Jeremiah 25:31. A noise shall come even to the end of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. How many of you know it's not good to have God to have a controversy against you? That ain't good. He will enter into judgment with all flesh. So that's why the Lord wants us to kill the flesh. He wants us to die to the flesh and allow Jesus to come alive in us. As for the wicked, he will give them to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. And this is talking about those arrows. And a great tempest shall be raised up from the uttermost parts of the earth. Nuclear storms are going to be raised up. Verse 33, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. This is truly the flood, David says. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the face of the ground. Wail, ye shepherds. So there are shepherds left here with their foals, David says, and cry and wallow in ashes, you principal of the flock. And these are the great men of Christianity. For the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are fully come, and you shall fall like a goodly vessel. They fall in the flood of the great and terrible day of the Lord. 35, and the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and the wailing of the principal of the flock, for the Lord lays waste their pasture. And the peaceable foals are brought to silence because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his covert as the lion, for their land has become an astonishment because of the fierceness of the oppressing sword. And because of his fierce anger, David says his fierce anger is against the apostates who have refused his grace and have refused his word. They have refused his truth, which would have protected and preserved them and would have had them in the ark, abiding in the ark of Jesus Christ. But they have refused his grace, his word, his truth, and have persecuted his saints. Anybody got a comment or a question? Amen. Psalms 91:6, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. No doubt both nuclear and biological weapons will be released at that time all over the world. There will be pestilence everywhere. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Now the Lord is saying here, thou shalt not be afraid for these things, God's people will not be afraid. Great preservation is coming for God's people. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. God's people are going to be preserved from all of this. We have his promise, and God don't break promises. It's verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Praise God. That's God's word. If you confess it and believe it, God will do it. Amen. All right. Anybody got any comments on this or questions? Anybody got any questions on end time stuff? Yeah, Andrew.
Okay, I'm looking at a couple of verses here in Luke 21, and it seems to come right after where it says, "And ye," the 17th verse, "ye shall be hated of all because of my name." That's the 17th verse of Luke 21. But the very next verse, the 18th and the 19th verse, backs up what he says, what we just read here, about the 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Because it seems like these two verses here have a little bit of grace and all this danger here. And it says there, "And not a hair of your head shall perish." Thrown right in there in Luke 21. Right in the midst of a tribulation time for the saints, because they're going to be hated for his name's sake. And then in the 19th verse, it says, "And in your patience, ye shall win your souls." This is the numeric English New Testament. And these two seem to have a lot of great grace in it. That's all. I just wanted to comment on that. I sort of seen that today when I was reading this. And no, it seems like the 18th one has more protection than the 19th one. Because it almost seems like, God collects his people whenever he wants to, too. Is what I like to throw in there. But this 18th verse right in here shows those who go from mortal to immortality, I think. Anyway, but like I say, God wants to collect you when he collects you.
Yeah, ain't gonna hurt either, is it?
No.
At that time, in my opinion, we'll all be ready. The ones that are running after the Lord, he's going to prepare you for that. Just like, remember what happened to Paul? He said, "Man, you can't go to Jerusalem. They'll kill you over there." "Well, I'm going there. I'm at the end of my thing. I'm going to go see Jesus." And that's the way we'll be. Be tired of looking at all this stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. We got excitement coming. We got people. It's going to see miracles like they've never seen before. Going to see a revival bringing multitudes into the kingdom. It's going to be awesome. Just so awesome. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on? Yeah, Joe.
Personally, I have to go back and look at the hidden man and all that, but I'm looking at 1 John 2:18 about the Antichrist. The popular view out there is it'll be one person, but as I've kind of looked at it, we realize it's a spirit and a corporate body. All right, well, this question towards Stephen or Dave or whoever, what are some other verses to kind of support that? It's been a while since I've watched the whole Hidden Manna series there. And I'm thinking of 1 John 2:18 is one of them, but I'm trying to think what are some other verses, you know, to support that. That, you know, okay, it was a man at one point, but now it's a spirit that inhabits a corporate body. So, or this for anybody who can rattle off a couple of verses.
I just put 2 John 1:7
Yeah.
Which, that makes it really clear, because it says this is the Antichrist. It describes, if there's ever a definition of the Antichrist in the Bible, that would be the verse that would define it. And it's defined as anybody who does not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, that would be their flesh, because this is written way after Jesus was resurrected. So if you don't believe Jesus is coming in your flesh, then you're the deceiver and the Antichrist. That would be a lot of Christians.
Yeah, because you're not going to bear the fruit of Jesus 36 or 100-fold if you don't believe that.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
That's the Antichrist spirit. It's when you don't take the whole word and use the whole word rather than just a portion that you like. Mm-hmm. Keeps you in your flesh.
The word Antichrist is only used 5 times in the Bible. 4 times is in 1 John, and 1 time is in 2 John. And in 1 John, I think it's chapter 4, it's a couple times, and in maybe chapter 1 and 2 or something. Yeah, but it never, there's not one place where you see it as an individual. But in the 2 John, it's very clear it has to be a corporate body. It cannot be an individual to fill that description. And Jesus always talked about false Christ, but it was never in the singular.
Yep.
He's called the man of sin. Mm-hmm. But never the Antichrist.
Yeah, well, the Bible says, Jesus says there's only 2 men in the earth, too, so.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense. Yep.
Malcolm's given us a tour. You stop, Malcolm.
Oh.
There we go. Where are we? You on a bear?
We're on a...
Greg wants to know if you're on a bear hunt.
Yeah, there's a bear that went up a tree right nearby here last fall. Well,
what are you doing going chasing for? Give me a break.
Well, that was last fall. He's just coming out of hibernation now.
Is that gumballs on the ground, or is that pine cone?
That's pine cone, I think.
Okay.
Are you chasing the bear, or is the bear chasing
you? No, the bear's in hibernation.
You're not moving fast enough. Come on, brother.
Yeah, okay. Greg says, don't look down. Look up, man. Keep your head up. Where are we headed?
Well, back to our place. I had to help my parents-in-law. Yeah, here's the bear. Here's where the bear went up the tree. This one right here.
Okay.
Got up to where the branches are.
Oh, my gracious. Watch that mountain lion now.
Looks beautiful there, Malcolm.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm jealous. Malcolm, thanks for taking us out on a walk with you.
Yeah.
a virtual walk with Malcolm.
Are you in the wilderness there, Jeff said?
Well, I wish I were.
Well,
yeah, it's pretty nice.
It's nice to see leaves in the trees. I mean, we don't have any here yet.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's what he got, mostly evergreens there.
I'd say it's all very green from all
that
water.
Yeah, look at the pasture. That pasture's all green.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
See if I can get that windmill zoomed in. I don't know if I can do that. Yeah. See that windmill there?
I don't see a windmill. I see, is that a sock?
No, it's a windmill.
Is it? Is it turning?
No. It was earlier.
I can't see it.
I see it. Yeah. I see it.
Do you?
Yeah. It's
right there in the middle.
Yeah, we see it.
It's a little white thing.
You're looking at a side view of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see it.
It's a little fuzzy.
Yeah. Looks like it's part of the tree.
Malcolm, what part of the country do you live in?
Well, we're up north of Spokane.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Beautiful up there.
Yeah, where we are is really nice. It's off the Columbia River, just north of Grand Coulee Dam.
What happened, Malcolm?
I stopped my video. I'm getting into a high security area.
Well, then we got to see it. Come on.
What are you doing, man? Turn it back on.
We're all friends here.
I was going to try to play something on the piano, but I don't know. At the house, I don't have very good internet. So, or a very good cell signal.
You got your piano with you?
No, I'm at it now.
He don't want you to see where he lives.
He brought us to his house. That's where he's at.
Yeah. I ain't never, as far as I can tell, without the Lord translating me going up there.
Well, I can tell you, I probably won't turn on the video in the house until I get a little more organized. Okay, I'll play something if you want.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going to come across here.
We won't know until you try. Okay, that was pretty good. I'm not talking about the piano playing. I'm not talking about the piano playing, but the audio was a little messed up. I know you can play good. Do you have an organ? Do you have an organ?
Yeah, Hammond.
Oh, on Hammond. Okay, a chord.
Yeah, with a Leslie 122.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what that is.
It swirls. You hear that in jazz type music and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
So you can make it swirl and stop swirling.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, bring it down when you come and we'll listen.
Hey, that's what Illinois Speed Press had when they were rocking out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Illinois Speed Press.
I never heard of them.
There was a guy down at...
Was that a rock and roll group?
Yeah. Oh. Long time ago.
Before my time.
when I was riding the TriMet bus system in Portland, Oregon, one of the drivers, I got to know a lot of the drivers. This one driver had a... he's a pretty interesting guy, but he was, turned out he was involved in rock concerts. He would do sound for them and whatnot, but he also played the organ, and he had a Leslie speaker, and he put black lights on the speaker, and he took the panels off, and then he painted the speaker, the rotating part, with some kind of fluorescent paint. So when he would spin up, you know, in the rock concert, everything would go totally psychedelic. Like, crazy guy. Anyway.
Okay. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, Michael, can you go in a little more into depth about the 30, 60, and 100 fold? Just kind of explain that a little more for me, please.
Okay. The way that God wants us to walk is to walk like Jesus walked. He wants us to die to self. Michael has to die, and Jesus has to come alive in me. And the only way to do that is to study and believe what the Word of God says, and to study how Jesus walked. You have to study the New Testament, the Gospels. And then you understand a little more about what he's talking about as far as walking like him. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. Remember when they asked Jesus, they said, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength, and your soul. He said the next to it is just as powerful or just as good, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So when you love like he's talking about doing, if you love Jesus, you're not going to lie. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal. You're not going to do anything against him. You're going to love him. And that's the dying to self part. If your neighbor comes over and slaps you on the face, Jesus just turned the other cheek, didn't he? Yeah. Love God with all your heart. And so that's just it in a nutshell. It's just to walk like Jesus walked, to love like Jesus loved, and to talk like Jesus talked too. Let's see if people got some other stuff here. Let's see. Well, I thought they were. Oh, yeah, here we go. The parable of the seed and the sower and the revelation of 1 Corinthians 16, star, moon, and sun glory. Yep, that's it. That represents the 30, 60, and 100 fold glory of God. Go ahead, Andrew.
Maybe he wants to know what constitutes the 30 fold entrance.
That's the star glory, which is.
Would that be when you first heard, when you were called?
Yeah. Okay. That's when you were first called. That's you should walk from there. You know, you should progress in your walk from there. Go ahead, Pat. We'll get it out here. Everybody here can join in here. Go ahead, Pat. Well, it'd be better if we could hear you.
Maybe it would. In Matthew 13:23, He explains that parable, or that what he said up in the upper verse in 13 or whatever, and he said, and he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understands it, and who verily bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, 60, and some 30. And the way I understand it is that word and some, I don't know what, maybe it was Steve who brought it out about the sun, moon, and star glory, that each part of the word of God that we hear and receive, that word, as we believe it and walk in it and allow it to manifest in it, some of it, depending upon our maturity and our growth and our ability to manifest that word through us as we believe it, some bears fruit 30-fold or star glory, some bears 60-fold, which would be moon glory, and then the last 100-fold would be sun glory. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the maturity or the maturation of that word and its, as to what it produces in our life, being that fruit. Some of the word, maybe we struggle over with it and it doesn't mature in us as much as some of the others do. Would that be correct?
Well, Michael? The star glory, as David calls it, the star glory, if you know, stars are out there by themselves, right? That's when you first come in. You still got a lot of self-righteousness in there. And that's what it is. It's out there by yourself. And if you remember, it's in, somebody help me, where the dragon brings down a third of the stars. Okay, that's the people that don't mature, that haven't matured any further than they have for the last 40 years or whatever. But those that go on to moon glory, they're dead. The moon is a dead thing, but it reflects the glory of the sun. That's the glory of the Father in them. And then, of course, the sun glory is when you come to full maturation, as Pat was talking about. That's the glory of the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul, and your spirit, and your body. That's full maturation right there. So it goes from star glory, self-righteousness, and then you move on to being dead to the soul, to your flesh, and reflecting the glory of God. And then the next is the 100-fold, which is reflecting the full manifestation of Jesus in your life, body, soul, and spirit.
I think what you're talking about there is the individual in their overall growth. But I think what I was referring to is more or less the specific aspects or truths of God's word standing as an individual portion in its own right as you believe it, and the results of that word as it matures in us, having the same effect. So that we're growing at different states or we're at different mm-hmm. levels of maturity in different things that we have come to believe or come to understand of God, in God's word. As an example, when I first came to the Lord, there was things that I didn't have a clue even existed in the truths of God, and some of the things that David has taught us. And it wasn't until later on in my life, I was still a Christian, but later on in my life, I saw these new things, shall we say, and learned to walk in those. And all of those portions of his word were at different levels of maturity in me. So that's, I think that's what I was thinking.
All right, go ahead, Judy.
Sue's got a song.
Well, wait a minute before you sing, let's go ahead and finish this before we get to sing, if that's okay. Let me make sure everybody's too. And I'd love to hear your song. We're almost out of time here. Anybody else got a question on the end times here? Okay, go for it, Sue.
Well, you can if you want to find the words, you can look at Psalm 66.
Okay.
And this is what the Lord wanted me to do, so I want to be obedient.
All right, go for it.
Okay. Shout joyfully to God all the earth, sing the glory of his name, and say unto God, how awesome are your works, the greatness of your power brings ones into obedience. All the earth will worship you, sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of our mighty God, who is awesome, his deeds towards sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. Let us all rejoice, heroes with might forevermore. All the earth will worship you, sing praises to your name. Bless our God, ye people, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in his life, our feet from stumbling. You have tried us, refined us as silver through the fire. You afflicted our souls, we passed through the water. We gave burnt offerings, prayed to you in our distress. Yet you brought us into a place of your abundance. All the earth will worship you, Almighty King. Come and hear all those who fear our God. We will tell of what he has done for us. We have cried unto him with praises in our mouths. If there's evil in our hearts, he will not hear. But he heard our prayers with loving kindness unto us. All the earth will worship you, Almighty God. Let us all rejoice, he rules by might forevermore. All the earth will worship you, Lord Jesus Christ. All the earth will worship you, Abba, Father, God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's beautiful. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Lord, keep us in the Word and let us be ever vigilant to spend time alone with you. Lord, I ask you forgiveness for today. I just seem like I'm running all over the place and not being able to get in step with you, Lord, and I just ask that you be with us all tonight. Give us good dreams. Let us sleep well. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we all can sacrifice time and sleep to be with you. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all the new people coming in to the fellowship. I know a lot of it's because of coronavirus, but that doesn't affect us. That just makes us bigger. And we just glorify you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everybody.